Hey, Internet, this is Eric M. Hunter, and this is
Hashtag Radio.
Hashtag Radio.
So I came across this article that was posted to metro.co.uk that kind of caught my attention. And I just wanted to share it with you guys and give you some of my thoughts on it, because I thought it was a very... very well-written piece for one, and it's very thought-provoking as well to kind of see where the video gaming industry is headed. So the article is called Creativity Versus Profit, What Has Happened to Gaming? And the writer's name is Pete Hutchins. So I'll leave a link to the actual article and the show notes of this episode. I just wanted to kind of make sure that for those of you who follow me and the things that I do and say, this is definitely right up the alley of what I believe to be either the moment, the pivotal moment in time where we need to shift away from what AAA gaming is doing. So, and it reads, I am a millennial born in 1981, and I'm young enough to be present at the rise of home gaming led by Nintendo and Sega, but old enough to have seen nearly a complete evolution of it. We've come a long way from Sonic and Mario, yet I still find myself returning to Sonic on my iPhone over many modern titles. Part of this is nostalgia, I'm sure, but mostly it's because it's fun. I have invested in many A-plus franchise titles in the past year or so. Assassin's Creed, Mass Effect, FIFA 17, Mafia 3, WWE 2K17, the list could go on. The initial excitement fades quickly to a world of familiarity that ultimately leads to contempt. Every year is like Groundhog Day in gaming. Software houses fire out lackluster blockbuster titles as guaranteed revenue generators. Assassin's Creed is my go-to example, which is true. I think Assassin's Creed has been coming out pretty much every year with the exception of this past title. They decided to put a squash on it. And you got games like Call of Duty that gets pushed out every year, although be it by a different developer, kind of in this weird rotating loop. And then obviously sports games, Madden, FIFA, NHL. This is a game that revolutionized the open world game for me. You felt like you had complete freedom. I remember seeing the first walkthrough and losing my mind. Now it's just a game that comes out every 18 months with minor upgrades. No progression. It's just a slap in the face to every gamer who invests £60 and 40 hours into what has now become a rather uninspiring franchise. How has this happened? We are spoiled for graphics and availability, but have we lost the art of creativity? Gaming has become big business and lost the creative risk taking that, brought it to the dance as a mainstream media. It's much safer to release a very minor update to Assassin's Creed than to attempt to create something new. Something new may fail, and that is costing someone somewhere money. Look at the Wii U. Okay, so that's a personal attack on me. I really enjoyed my Wii U for what it was. Is it a failure in the eyes of gaming as a whole? Sure. Is it a failure for Nintendo? Absolutely not. I feel that this hit that they took with the Wii U was easily just the stepping stone to get us to the Switch. I mean, you know, Nintendo's a multi-billion dollar company. They're still doing fine. So, but yeah, it definitely, it costs money somewhere for them, I'm sure. With big budgets comes an expectation to provide a profit. It's no different to the movie industry. It's much easier and less risky to punt out a remake or sequel than to create a completely new IP. There are a few expectations to this rule. Rockstar are the masters of only releasing a game that is a masterpiece and that can be enjoyed for a whole console generation. I am not only playing GTA Online, but on occasion the main game. Contrast that to Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which I didn't even complete and is now gathering dust along with four other PlayStation 4 releases from that franchise. The gaming industry is worth $91 billion in 2016, so a leap back to the heady creative days of the 90s seems far off. I myself am part of the problem. I continue to buy the A-plus games in hope of a new direction. I do this sometimes without even being able to see a review of the game, a trend that for me has very worrying implications. Many companies prevent reviews from being allowed to be published before the release of a game. This indicates that the company is releasing a game that it knows will get less than stellar recommendations. For me, this needs to be addressed by the industry. Now, that point of information is typically true, with the exception of a handful of games like the new release of Doom 2016. And I want to say BioShock Infinite was the same way. Some of this, I feel like from a industry standpoint and a developer standpoint, that holding off reviews until a game is actually released into the public can be made for if it's a very story heavy game, or I mean, unfortunately, yeah, if the game is just not meant to be what you think it's supposed to be. So the games like Doom 2016 are definitely the exception that makes the rule true, unfortunately. But it's not for every game. And yes, I do believe it should be addressed by the industry. I think it should be something that, as somebody who purchases games to help fund these developers and these publishers, I feel those developers need to take better account of the games that they release. It goes back to my original thought of, as a gamer, we have no idea how games are made. We don't know what the implications are or what's really involved or how labor intensive it is. And sure, you get games that come out late and get delayed and the fan base is upset. But at the end of the day, guess what happens? The game still gets purchased, and typically games are still doing fairly well for themselves. So as a personal side note to any developer out there, if you feel like your game is not ready to be released and you have to go past your release date, by all means, go past your release date. Do not release a half-assed product just because a date is about to come up on you. Like, there's just no point in it. And if you're with a publisher or you work for a developer who doesn't feel this way, then you need to really consider possibly moving on, finding a different publisher or renegotiating something, because that is just a... that is a half-assed ideal that doesn't deserve to be in an indie gaming environment. Where were we? Oh, if consumers are not able to garner opinions from expert. No, it's a spell. It's a grammar mistake. If consumers are not able to garner opinions from experts before spending what is considerably amount of money, eventually there may be a backlash. First week sales may crash as consumers train themselves to wait for the reviews to filter through before purchasing. The industry will only have itself to blame. Ultimately, I am sure the rise of the indie gaming scene will provide most creative gems that we are so sorely missing in 2017. These companies are still agile and passionate about creating games for fun. Ultimately, gaming is about escapism. If a gaming franchise becomes a chore, then consumers will move, no matter how much is spent on the marketing or review hiding. By Pete Hutchins. And he's right. You know, being an indie developer, amongst the scene, you are typically a much agile, nimble troop of people. You have the ability to make games on the weekend without the fear of losing a paycheck or not being able to buy groceries for your family or put food on the table and that kind of thing. Now, obviously, there are many independent game developers that this is their job. That's what they do from there. It's not a 9-to-5. It's definitely a 7-to-7 job, 7 days a week. But AAA publishers are getting too big to fail. You cannot fix a problem by simply throwing more money out of it. But that seems to be the singular conscience of AAA gaming at the moment. They know that these games will make money because they've made money on them in the past. Time and time again has proven that us as gamers are unfortunately not a smart group of people. When a game gets released and it is awful, we are still ready to pony up for pre-orders because we get some silly little trinkets or we get DLC that should have been included in the game in the first place at no additional charge. A lot of this does fall on us as gamers, that we are accepting this as the rite of passage, that this is the way the game should be made and released and consumed. Something needs to change. As an indie gamer and as an indie gamer developer, we are able to make these shifts into the right direction simply by being small and nimble. It makes you wonder how long AAA gaming is actually going to be what everybody goes to. I feel like a lot of people who say that indie games don't have the weight to shift the boat are extremely nearsighted. A perfect example of this was just from this previous E3. During Sony's press conference was slightly absent of any indie game content. And the Sony Interactive Entertainment global boss, Jim Ryan, was more than happy to comment as to why the focal shift away from indie titles. And this was his response. You know, right now, we have tons of indie content on the platform. And the fact that we elected, along with many other things such as Gran Turismo and PlayLink, not to give it its own spot on the stage this week is in no way means it is not important or is not there. Or we don't worry about it. The important thing to keep in mind is that as an indie game developer, you have the power to create something beautiful. Creativity and fun should come up above all else. Do you want to make a dollar? Of course you do. Would you love this to be your full-time job? Absolutely. But if it's not possible for you to do that right now, why not put every bit of your creative juice into this one particular thing to create something beautiful? Creativity leads before profit. Profit will follow if creativity is there.
Thank you for listening through to the end. If you know someone who would benefit from hearing this episode, please tag them in it. Word of mouth is my fire, so light me up.